गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुदेवो महेश्वरः गुरुसाक्षात् परब्रह्मम् तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः गुरुब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुदेवो महेश्वरः गुरुसाक्षात् परब्रह्मम् तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः ज्ञानमूलं गुरुमूर्तिः पूजामूलं गुरुपादम् मन्त्रमूलं गुरुवाक्यम् मोक्षमूलं गुरुकृपा गुरुब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णु गुरुदेवो महेश्वर गुरुसाक्षात् परब्रह्मम् तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः ॐ श्री नारायणपरमात्मने नमः యా మీరు మ్యూట్ లో ఉన్నారు దీది యా యా యూఆర్ ఆన్ మ్యూట్ ఐ థింక్ అన్మ్యూట్ చేయలేకపోతున్నారా యా దీది
యా ఓం శ్రీ నాన్న పరమాత్మనే నమః. ఈరోజు మన దీప మాట్లాడుతుందండి. దీప ఎవరు అంటే చాలా మందికి తెలుసు, యాక్చువల్గా హైదరాబాద్ భక్తులందరికీ దీప్ తెలుసు. మన సావిత్రి గారి డాటర్, సావిత్రి అంటే మన లక్ష్మీ ఆంటీ ఫ్రెండ్స్ సావిత్రి ఉన్నారు కదా, ఆవిడ డాటర్, వన్ అండ్ ఓన్లీ డాటర్ అనమాట. అంకుల్ యాక్చువల్గా ఈశ్వరుడు భూమి మీద నడవడం అంటే మన నాన్నగారు, అయితే నాన్నగారితో పాటు కొంతమంది దేవతలను తెచ్చుకున్నారండి, అందులో దీప వాళ్ళ ఫాదర్ ఒక ఆయన. ఎందుకంటే దీప వాళ్ళ ఫాదర్ ఎప్పుడూ కూడా స్క్రీన్ మీద కనపడలేదు. ఎంత ఔన్నత్యమైన ఔన్నత్యం ఉన్న వ్యక్తి అంటే ఆయన ఎంతో అంటే నిష్కామ కర్మే కాదు, అంటే ఫలితం ఆశించకుండా కర్మ చేయడమే కాదు, అద్భుతంగా ఐ మీన్ అంటే కామ్ కరేజ్ అంటారు కదా, కామ్ కరేజ్ అంటే చాలా ధైర్యం, కామ్గా ఉండడం, ఆయన పని చేస్తున్నట్టు రెండో మనిషికి కనపడకుండా పనిచేయడం, అయితే ఫ్యాన్ ఎలా తిరుగుతుందో అలా నిరంతరం శ్రమ పడ్డారు. కేవలం ఆయన కోసం కాదు, ఆయన పెట్టిన ఇండస్ట్రీలో వర్కర్స్ కోసం ఆయన ప్రాణం, అంటే ఆల్మోస్ట్ ఐ మీన్ లైక్ ఇంట్లో వాళ్ళని ఎలా చూసుకుంటామో అంతకన్నా ఎక్కువగా, అంటే వాళ్ళకి బ్రేక్ఫాస్ట్కి గుడ్లు ప్రొవైడ్ చేయడం, పండుగలు వస్తే వాళ్ళకి ఆడపిల్లలకి గాజులు బట్టలు కొని పెట్టడం, ఎంత ఆదర్శంగా జీవించారు అంటే, అంటే భగవద్గీతలో కృష్ణుడు చెప్పినట్టు ఇలా జీవిస్తే నీకు ముక్తి వస్తుంది అంటారు కదా, అలా ఆయన జీవించి చూపించారండి. అయితే అలా కొంతమంది అరుదుగా కొంతమంది అంటే ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్ డిసిప్లిన్, కంపాషన్, డెడికేషన్ టు వర్క్ అవన్నీ ఉండి లైక్ వెరీ ఫ్యూ పీపుల్ వి సీ అన్నమాట. సో అమాంగ్ దెమ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ వాజ్ దీపాస్ ఫాదర్. సో తెలుగు నేను ఆఖరిలో మళ్ళీ దీప మాట్లాడేసిన తర్వాత మాట్లాడతాను, ఈరోజు ఇంగ్లీష్ సెషన్ కాబట్టి. సో దీప, లెట్స్ కాన్వర్స్ ఇన్ ఇంగ్లీష్ టుడే, లెట్స్ బిగిన్ దిస్ బికాస్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ టు టేక్ మచ్ ఆఫ్ ది టైమ్. ఓం శ్రీ నమ పరమాత్మనే నమః. యా, సో టుడే ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు ఇంట్రొడ్యూస్ దీప, హూ ఇస్ వెరీ క్లోజ్ డివోటీ ఆల్సో ఆఫ్ అండ్ హర్ పేరెంట్స్ వర్ ది ఫస్ట్ ఐ మీన్ లైక్ డివోటీస్ ఫ్రమ్ మేబీ 1990s, బిగినింగ్ ఆఫ్ 1990s. అండ్ she was brought up with satsangs and I knew her from childhood, maybe from her school days, and she was one of the sweetest girls I have known of. I mean, so much sweetness in her voice, in her composure, the way she behaves, or you know, like so soft in her speaking, and never hurts anyone, and so disciplined. And then she had studied very well, she had academic excellence, she had gone to US to pursue her job, and then later on Nangaru asked her to come back, and then she came back without a second thought, and she was of lot of help to her father, and she learned everything from her father, like how he, you know, organized things, how disciplined he was. And her mother Savitri, I think most of us know Savitri aunty, she is also amazing, because I mean their whole family, they were angels brought by Nanagaru. They don't seem to have these weaknesses that humans do. Somehow, you know, like at some point of time they come out, right, if it's really there. But I never saw it in her mother, father, or her. So let us hear in Deepa's words how she picked all this up. Maybe with birth she's got everything, and what she learned from her dad. Because I remember, Deepa, like nobody ever told this. Nanagaru himself revealed it to us. And maybe uncle did not reveal it to you also. Maybe not to your mother or you also, because he did everything very secretly. Like Jesus says, kada, like what the right hand gives, let the left hand not know. And your father did that all his life. He never mentioned what good he was doing to others, including paying part of the salary to Nanagaru. Whatever income he got, he would pay maybe 20%, not the 10% that Jesus has said. Every month on first of every month, he would go to Jinnur. He would sit arugumida kurchuni, like he would sit on the platform there. He would wait for Nanagaru. He wouldn't go inside. It was like a humble, you know, like humble givings. I mean, like as if, okay, when we give to God, we wait, you know, like there's no pride at all. Like that, he was so humble, and then he would wait for Nanagaru. If he came a little late, he would say, you've been waiting here for so long, you should have come inside, or you should have told me. Then he said, no, I would like to see at your own time, let it happen that way. So, I mean, it's so good to know such people in life, but we did miss them because we were so occupied in going around Nanagaru that few personalities like this, it would have been nice if we would have been able to spend some time with. But anyway, today we would like to hear in Deepa's words about her father, her mother, and herself, and how she is what she is today.
Sure, Usha. I think it's always hard to start, right? But yeah, you have started very well, so let me take it from there. So about my father, maybe a few things about him. it is funny to see a difference in Angaru, like what I had observed in him as a person. So he was one person, like you said, who loved work like anything. So since my childhood, I've seen him like work like anything, like, you know, long hours and everything. And when he would like come home, he would be so fresh, as if he was just, you know, going to work. So he really liked to work a lot, and irrespective of the title or the result and all that, till the last day he was working. Apart from that, I think there's one other quality that I observed in him is being satisfied, you know, like being content in life. I think that also comes from my grandfather. Throughout my life, I've not seen him, you know, complain about anything. And moreover, he is like extremely happy. Like even when they built their first house, you know, he's saying, my God, like, you know, God has given us way too much. That is how he would say about everything. Like he's got way too much, no matter in which phase of life he was. And also, he was one person with no fear. He could say anything to anyone's face if he felt it was not right. And even when he was working, he was going to these places where there was a lot of murders and all that happening. One day my mother came and asked him, see, you're going to all these places, you know, where a lot of these things are happening. And then he said, every day that he goes, he never thinks that he's going to come back. He never thought that he would come back. So he used to live that kind of a life right then itself. Like even when I was growing up, he would tell me, coming first was not important at all, because the person who comes first is always full of fear. You know, when he's going to lose that spot, who is going to take away that spot. You know, he's always looking back or looking down and not forward. So these are the things like he used to talk very casually. But our house was really filled with these. And he was a man of limited words. Like the, whatever was happening internally or whatever is his thought process, he's not the kind to come out outright and say, you know, this is what is happening or this has happened. There were very limited words that he would speak, but from his gestures and some things you could understand. Now, such a person, if he were to come in contact with Nangaru, imagine what is going to happen, right?
That is what has happened. It's more like God brings his people, right?
Yeah.
True, so it's like when Hanuman met Ram, or when Vivekananda met Ramakrishna, or it's, you know, like similarities. I mean, each one has a different composition and different personalities, but God has his own way of bringing his people, and then when they meet, it's going to be a glory.
Yes. So I think the first time that he met was at my cousin's wedding, and Nangaru had come there to bless the couple, and it was a midnight wedding, and my father only intended to stay there for some time and leave, and he happened to stay all through the night, and my mother went and asked him, how come you stayed all night? And he said that Nangaru shook his hand, and when he shook his hand, all his thoughts stopped. He said that all his thoughts stopped. First time, you know, with that handshake, he felt like all the thoughts stopped and he just stayed there, you know, he just stayed there. So that was the first time. And And after that, I think when we moved to Madhura Nagar, I think I was in my 8th or 9th grade when we moved. It was in 89. I think that was one of...
Grishma?
Yeah, Didi?
Yeah?
Yeah, I think we lost Usha, Didi.
Oh, okay.
Usha, Didi? There is some problem. Just a minute, Didi, sorry. Thank you.
ஓ சாரி ஐ திங்க் நாதி நெக்ஸ்ட் ஏதோ கொஞ்சம் கனெக்ஷன் கட் ஆயிடுமா did you continue
no I think we stopped actually yeah
oh really okay okay so continue amma we shouldn't be having a problem now so can you continue from where you stopped
sure. So that was the first meeting and we had moved to Madhuranagar in 89 or early 90s and that was one of the best thing that happened because Lakshmi aunty was there and you know that is how we got to know Nangaru so mother started visiting Lakshmi aunty's house for satsang and that is how slowly my father also got introduced to Nangaru back again and I think Lakshmi aunty had a phenomenal role in our family like in terms of the love that she gave and the connection that she had provided with Nangaru especially Nangaru was visiting quite a lot during those days Madhuranagar so this whole thing was happening where you know my father was meeting him and my mother when she would come back home he would ask so what did he tell one word or something and she would of course tell a lot of them and he enjoyed all those things and my father used to smoke a lot Usha and so many times we had asked him to quit and he would not quit I think it was those long work hours or something you know he would smoke quite a bit then one day you know mother noticed that he is not smoking then she said oh so you have quit and he did this you know like showing Nangaru's picture like
how and anything and everything was Nangaru no after once he met him
everything Usha everything name a god or anything you know it was all only Nangaru so he would just wake up his Nangaru's picture was right in front of him he would pray waking up he would step out again you know pray to one more picture he would leave the house and pray from going upstairs to office he would pray moving from room to room he would pray I don't know what was going on internally but he would just stay in front of the picture even in the factory you know like he had Nangaru's pictures everywhere and every time he would go out every time he would come in he would always like you know pray to him and I think once Nangaru asked him some topic about Kasi had come and he asked Sri Ramatraj garu have you been to Kasi he said no and Nangaru was like this you are like shocked like you have not been to Kasi how come and daddy says this like you are my Kasi you know like limited words always you know you are my Kasi like those days mummy and all her friends you know the close friends that we have they used to go to Arunachalam or to Kasi or you know to Ramkrishna Math they would have these tours once in a while and daddy once said where are you all going you know just he's right there what is the point in going around even Arunachalam was not at all needed for him even Bhagwan was not needed like in the sense that Nangaru was enough you know filled up with Nangaru that he did not have the necessity to listen or to go or to pursue anything else beyond that so he was just filled with him so many times like I used to see him do like this you know this then one day I asked him what is this you're doing you know then he said it is namam like I'm chanting since when I asked since my childhood all the time like even eating yes even every bite everything so how come means my father taught me to do this since I was very small and it had been to him and it had become a part of him where you know it is done like even without his knowledge
it became spontaneous
I was telling how come you didn't teach me all these things you know
so that is you are the product I mean of his punya maybe all that only came as his daughter Deepa
so you
and
know
also, one more thing Deepa Nangaru used to call you the light of Hyderabad light of AP itself. He used to say Buddha is the light of Asia and our Deepa is the light of Andhra. I mean, we didn't separate them. We were not Telangana and Andhra. Telangana and Andhra was one. So he already proclaimed that you are the light.
So when he said that, Usha, I just panicked, you know. For a minute I panicked and I was feeling guilty. Then I thought, you know, why should I panic? Because I have not asked for it. Now he said this, so he is going to make that happen, you know. So now it is his responsibility. He has to prove himself now, you know. It's literally like that.
I think he's already proved himself. It's just that, like your dad, no, you're hidden, the hidden treasure.
Only he knows, Usha, only he knows. So, Daddy, you know, like, he built a business and, you know, wealth started coming in. You know, he was successful. He built all this thing with all the people and all that. So, when the money started flowing in, Usha, then he would tell my mother and me, this is not ours. This is not ours. And he was so simple, Usha, like, even the day that he left, there was only one rack of clothes, you know, just one rack of clothes. If one shirt would come in, then one had to go out.
Oh, my God.
So he was, like, very different, you know. It's a very content kind of a life he had. And all this was happening, you know, the numerous meetings he had with Nangaro. He was visiting all the time that when he was going to the factory. All this was, you know, something was happening there. Something was happening which was not visible to the naked eye.
Correct.
So, there was a time that came when he had to go through a kidney transplant. You know, his kidneys were not functioning good. And because we could not find something in the right time outside, my mother was really very kind enough to give hers to my father.
Yes. And she did it happily.
She did it very instantly, like no thoughts. You know, you just take mine, you know. Like, I think they're all like different people, you know. I'm just blessed that I'm surrounded with them. But she's like, oh, just take mine. I'm like, wait, let us try outside. And she's like, no, just take mine. Mine is matching, you know.
Yeah.
So the operation was happening, Usha, and my mother's out. And my father's is still continuing. And it's taking way longer than it was intended to happen.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay.
Again, you know, she was talking to Nangaru and she was updating him. And Nangaru said, no, he'll be out in like 2 hours. And exactly in like 2 hours, he just came out. And I think this was a major turning point for my father after that, you know, the transplant that happened, because he himself told that this was a second chance given to him.
Mm.
It was a rebirth, you know, like a second chance given to him.
Mm.
And you know how you take into things when something is... when you have a second chance, right? You utilize every day in your life.
I think, Deepa, there are so many people who go through, you know, almost death in life. But not everybody realizes it's their second chance.
That was very, very, very evident because he just withdrew himself from a lot of things. Like if there were like functions or things and all that, he just did not go after that. His diet had changed, his living style, everything. You know, when you think his time was not limited, by the way. The doctors guaranteed him a lifespan, like no problem at all. But he somehow thought that everything is numbered now.
Yes.
So every second, he used it so beautifully, like only to whatever is like truly important to him.
Yes.
He used to wear a mask all the time, Usha. If you remember, whenever he was wearing a mask all the time. The doctor said, you don't need to wear the mask, Rajgaru. You don't need to wear the mask. And he said, like, no, I need to wear this because this will remind me that I got a second chance all the time.
So that is
how carefully he led his life. He led his life like that. And he told me once, not then, maybe a year or two afterwards, Usha, like I told you, he's not a person who would share everything outright, right? Everything was very internal.
Also, Deepa, tell us about your coming to India. You were in US for how many years?
I was there for 11 years, Usha.
Yeah. So you came after he had his kidney operation? No, you came much before.
No. I was here when he was getting the operation done. Then I went back again. I was there for 6 months. I went back. And that was in 2006. And I returned in 2009.
For good.
For good. Yeah. Mm. So just 1 year after his operation or something, but I used to visit India on and off because I had these children, right? So I was visiting often. So one day he told me very vaguely, you know, that during that operation that time, he felt he was like gone, you know, like he was leaving. And he told Nangaru that I want to do some good works, you know.
Oh, okay.
And Nangaru sort of told someone that he wants to do some good works, let him be.
Really?
Yes. So he told that all this happened very vaguely, that but he strongly remembers Nangaru's you know, presence in retaining him back.
Oh okay.
So I think maybe that was one of the reasons he started doing all the things that he intended to do, you know, prioritizing everything in terms of what is very important, and every second he just there's a lot going on internally, Usha, like not visible to us, but so much was happening.
It was not a second chance for not just the good works. He had to, you know, like get into the state of nirvana, and it's a huge process actually. I mean, like, it's a many lifetimes process, Deepa, but he's already a ripened fruit, so the little time that was there in Guru's presence, he had to finish it off maybe.
Yes. It was actually his 60th birthday, Usha, and he told not to tell anybody, you know. He was a very quiet person. He didn't believe in all this wishing and Happy New Year or Happy Birthday. He's like, how many times are you born, you know? Do you keep wishing and all that? You know, a lot of different ways he would talk, you know. So it was his birthday, but he wanted to be with Nangaru. Mm. And I think he told Nangaru that he was going to come. And that day, me and Daddy, we went to Nangaru. And it was so beautiful, actually, that incident. Daddy was giving Nangaru some things, and Nangaru was giving Daddy some things. And both were like, you know, looking at each other. And Nangaru put a small garland on Daddy. You know, these are all like sweet memories, you know, of my Daddy glowing on one side. Like, it is like meant. And that day, actually, he also visited all his teachers who all taught him when he was like really small. He contacted all of them, giving whatever he wanted to, just to feel satisfied himself.
Yes.
And sadly, it was only less than a year, Usha, that he left physically, you know, after all this stuff. Less than a year.
He was just 61 when he passed away.
Yeah, not even 61.
Oh my God. It was really drastic and sudden.
It was very drastic. So while this was happening, Usha, then one day what happened was, I called up my father. He was in the factory. It is an overnight train journey, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't hear him properly. So I said, what is wrong? Are you not well? And he said, no. And throughout my lifetime, I have never heard my father speak anything negative. Like, I'm not well, or I have pain, or, you know, this is not good, or I don't have this. Nothing.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Neither about him, nor about anyone.
Yes.
Even people who cheated him, anything, whatever. He has never spoken ill about anybody. And now he said no, then I was like, okay, something is really strongly not right, because if he said that. So what had happened is actually it was cancer, of course we didn't know then, and it was in a very late stage, and it had affected his brain, because of which he was losing some grip. While he was walking, suddenly he would lose a grip and he would fall, or he would not write. And he had to travel back that night in a train. And I told him, so how are you going to come back alone now, traveling? And you know what he said? I will come back, or I will not come back.
Oh, like, as simple as that.
Now, just see the preparation that was done in all this. This was like 6 years after he got the transplant done. It was so simply, he said, I'll come or I'll be done in between, you know, just as simple as that. So he came back. And we started with all the treatments once we knew, you know, what was wrong. But unfortunately, the treatment was so intense that slowly he started losing his voice. He couldn't really talk much. And he also couldn't write much. Now, all this was happening so fast that we were not ready for this, you know. We were not prepared. Nobody is ever ready for these kind of things, right? And we were totally not ready for this. Because it's like he was right there in the middle of so many things. So the factory was going on, he was procuring assets, there were issues with those. And I had just returned from India, I had two small children, and he used to really pamper them a lot. It was not like he's like done, you know, he's like in his 80s or anything. He was in the middle of so many things, right?
Yes.
In the hospital, one day I asked him, do you want me to bring the kids? Because we're already 2 months and we were not prepared for this. He neither said yes, nor did he say no.
Yeah.
It was like he was done without being done. So you know how it is to be completely done when in the middle of not being done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time...
it must have been an intense sadhana for you then, actually.
It was so fast, Usha. Everything was happening so fast, so quickly. And I don't think, till today, Usha, I don't think we could have survived a day without Nangaru's grace and his guidance. My father, my mother and me, today, whatever we are, whatever it is, not a day has passed without his guidance or without his grace. So he is in this hospital, he's not able to speak, right? And he did this to his hand when pointing to Lakshmi auntie. She was there with us throughout this entire time, you know, day in and day out.
She was overwhelmed, so, actually.
She was like a daughter, you know, in the house. She was like a daughter. Actually, my father used to call her Chinnaguru Garu because she would always talk about the subject and everything. And they would have the small arguments where auntie would come very intense about Bhagwan. And daddy was very intense about Nangaru. You know? So they would have that minor kind of a clash, you know, where each one is proving they're all the same. They both know they both are the same. But, you know, it is like those conversations have to be just seen visually only, you know.
Because which physical form is more attached to?
Yes. Very true, very true. So he showed his hand, and auntie is so sharp, right? She said, what uncle, gratitude, huh? He said, yes, you know. So he had that gratitude for her, for, you know, the journey where she had helped out so much, you know, all through. And what auntie there was doing was she was updating Nangaru about my father's condition on a daily basis. Now, this is where everything changes, Usha. Everything changes.
Yes.
So Nangaru went to Vizag. Okay.
Yes, he was in Vizag,
and he told them, I want to go to Hyderabad to see Sri Ramatraj Garu.
Yes.
And in quotes, this is what he said, I am there for him, but he needs to know that I am there for him, so I want to go. Now just see how beautiful is this. Now he's there, he's guiding you internally, he's giving you everything, but for someone to say that out loud, you know, out loud, giving that kind of assurance that I'm there, you know, he needs to know that I'm there. It is so strong, it is so powerful. I mean, what else do you need, Usha? I mean, what else do you need in this life when someone's saying, I'm there for you, and he's taking all this trouble to assert that even physically, you know, physically also he's doing it. So then he came down to Hyderabad, and my father was in the room, so in the ICU or something, some separate room was there, and he came, Usha.
Yes.
Now, this, I can just tell you visually also how it is. You know, like how Sabari was waiting for Ram? It was like he was like waiting for him, and he can't speak because all his vocal things... And the moment Nangaru came, he just gave his hand into his hand.
Yeah.
He just gave his hand into his hand, and both are just looking at each other.
Mm.
And no words, but volumes are going on with each other. Mm. So much going on. It's like, I could feel like my father was saying, now I am giving myself to you. Like, you know, I'm giving myself to you.
I mean, totally.
I'm giving myself to you, because he had actually stopped operating, Usha, literally, because if you know, when he was in the hospital, like someone was saying, take the powers for the administration from him, a letter of signature.
Mm.
He refused. If I said if somebody wanted to visit, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. It is like he had left everything to God's will. He didn't tell one word on how to deal with things, what to do with the company, what to do with the partners, what to do with the assets, what to do with the...
Nothing.
He knew what was happening, but yet he didn't speak even one word about it.
Because he left it.
He had just left it to God's will, you know, because that is what is going to happen, right? Or is happening all the time. Yes. But to accept that at a different domain is like, it's something, right? So the both of them were looking at each other, and sometimes, and I was watching them, sometimes, you know, out of stupidity, right? Then I spoke, you know, I thought my father was emotional. I said, Daddy, you want to do Namam? Like, do you want to chant? And Nangaru just looked at me and snapped. He said, Akad unnade Namam. Like, all that is left is only Namam. Chanting. It's all what is there. Yes. So, if you see, so much had happened. If Nangaru is saying all that is left is Namam, like chanting, you know, there is so much that had happened internally for him to be there. Mm-hmm. And he actually, when he was leaving physically, auntie had connected him to Nangaru through the phone. And Nangaru was telling him the Narayan mantra. He was chanting the Narayan mantra, and that is when he had his last breath, Usha. And even when he left, he had this mudra in his hands, you know, like this mudra, like in his hands. So this is all what we could see, right? What we could see was happening in front of our eyes. But I think a lot had happened beyond, because I was in two minds if I should share this part of it. But I think all of us who love Nangaru have the right to know these things, you know, because it had happened between me and Nangaru something. So it is, I had to share. I have to share it. It is their right to know also.
So
what had happened is, now my father meant the world to me. Like, he meant the world to me, still means the world to me. And for someone like that to vanish, we all know everybody is born and everybody is going to die, right?
But yes, someone, we have our departure.
Yeah, to vanish like that, I mean, I can't come to terms with it. And everything is happening so fast, right? So Nangaru visited us during those 10 days. And, he came to our house. And he saw Daddy's picture in a chair, and he stopped and he said, "Bliss personified."
What?
Bliss personified.
Bliss personified. Yes.
Yeah. Now I know bliss is somewhere there. You know, happiness is here, and a bliss is something like really very powerful and all that. And he said, he told me that you know, you cannot cry, because if you cry, it is like you're insulting your father. His words are so powerful, Usha. Like, he's saying that you cannot cry, but he will not leave you there. He's going to give you the strength. He'll take you to a space where you can do what he's asking you to do that. So something like this were to happen, I don't think my mother and me would have even imagined to pull through.
Live a life without him, yes.
Absolutely, there's no way we could have even imagined something like this, you know, how we could have handled. And yet, both of us did not shed a tear. And what can you say, Usha? I mean, what more is needed to speak about his work and what he is doing to us and how he's taking care of us in that space, how he's doing this, right?
Yeah.
Now, what happened is, now I stepped into my father's shoes, you know, taking care of some of his responsibilities, the work. There's no time, actually. Everything's happening very fast. But, and then I started visiting Nangaru at Jinnuru, because it's like 2 hours away from where I was working, right?
So you took the role of your father.
I don't think I can ever take his role, but yes, I do some of his things that he was doing. So when I was...
You are the byproduct. It is so obvious, Deepa.
So Usha, then I started visiting Nangaru, right? Every time I would go like an empty vessel and just fill up myself so much with this love, you know, so much care, so much love, everything, right? Now, when I was visiting him, you know, once Nangaru also mentioned, you don't go to a king and ask for salt, right?
Correct.
So now I'm going to him, and I had to know what is happening. Mm. And I had to ask, if I'm not going to ask him, whom am I going to really ask?
I mean, correct.
If you don't ask him, whom are you going to ask, right?
Yeah.
And then so I asked him, how is daddy?
Yeah.
He is so sweet, Usha. He is so sweet. He didn't have to answer that, right? He didn't have to answer.
Yeah.
Yet, just out of grace, out and out of grace, out of love, he said, your daddy is doing very good. He is very happy. He is very happy. Now, hearing that, I am extremely happy. But what is happy, right? My daddy was always happy because I've seen him happy all the time.
Happy.
Now, he knows this. Whatever is going on inside, he knows, right? Then he added, he's more happy than what he was here. So,
which is very important.
Yeah. So much clarity he'll give you. He'll not stop or leave something unfinished. Yes. And he was telling that, yes, he is very happy, more happy than what he was here. Now, yes. I'm trying to imagine, I've always seen him happy. Now, he's more happy than this. So, there is, I mean, what else can I want for him? See, all you want is whomever you love, for them to be happy.
To be happy. Yes.
And so strange, Usha, this thing which my mother and me, we were able to overcome this, right? Lot of our family members and friends could not, who are very dear to my father was very dear to them, they could not really cross this thing, you know. They thought he was like gone. I mean, you can't be gone, right? Where will you go? It's just the physical thing that you have left. And he's saying he's very happy. Now I'm traveling again and again, coming back to Nangar over a period of years, right? So I was asking him again, every time I would ask him, how is daddy doing? And very sweetly he would answer. And he would say, he's doing very good. And one day he told me, he's a Stita Pragna. Now that is a big word for me. I actually came back and Googled what is Stita Pragna, you know. And then I just learned, okay, now this is like very good. It's beyond my understanding, but yes, okay. I'm very happy that he's there. And then I had to ask again. Now if I don't ask him, who will I ask? So I asked him, can you make sure he doesn't come back again and he's liberated?
Okay? Yeah.
Because now he's answering, we get more courage and everything, right? To ask
to
more
ask
and more. Yeah, you always ask for more, right? But to that, he didn't answer, Usha. All he said was, your father is a very simple person, very good-hearted person, and very lot of virtues he spoke about him, and he said he wanted to do a lot of good things. Even when he was financially stretched, he wanted to do a lot of good works. And that's it.
Correct.
Next, I asked him twice, Usha, after which I did not ask that, but over a period of years, we would talk about this. Then one fine day, he was in Bhimvaram in his grandson's house. Nangar was in his grandson's house. Vijayanti was also with me. And Nangaru was talking generally, and suddenly he told me that your father is ready to come.
Okay.
He said, you know, come here. Very soon he'll be coming. And after that he's talking a lot of other things, and now I'm like, what to do? Now he's telling he's going to come. Then again I had to ask. So it is all about asking, Usha. Whatever you ask, he will answer. Whatever you ask, he will say. It is only about asking. Then I asked him, Nangaro, so you're saying that he's going to come, time has come. Can you just make sure that he's born where he can progress spiritually? You know? Then you should have seen his face, Usha. He just went back, all glowing. How nice you have asked this. How nice you have asked this. It is good that you have asked this. As if he was not going to do it, you know. He was going to do it anyway. But he's like, you know, very good that you have asked this. You have asked this, it is very good. And then comes the other side of it. He said, with this, you are relieved of all the responsibilities as a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that. So Isha, here what is happening is, he is actually taking care of him in a different space.
Correct.
And he is also taking care of me here, because I was clinging on to my dad's still.
Father.
Well-being, spiritual
progress. Very much. Because your entire focus was on where your dad was, how he was, and
how
was okay
he was
him.
Spiritually and all that, right? Now he said this, that with this, you have completed all your responsibilities as a daughter. And he will not see anything which is not going to happen. Till from that day, till today, Usha, my love for my dad is the same, but that cling is gone. that cling where I was like dangling onto something was gone. And he does it so beautifully. There's nothing like hurting, you know, so nicely he does it. And he still doesn't stop here, okay? He doesn't stop with this. What happened after that was he actually came to Hyderabad in August 2017.
Yeah,
and he was already not slightly unwell.
Not well.
Not well. And he said he'll come to our house. And I was like feeling very guilty because you don't want him to take that trouble physically, right? But you don't say no when he's coming to your house. I mean, there's nothing like all of us want him to come, right?
Yes.
But when he said that, and he was going to stop for like 15 minutes and then go somewhere else, that 15 minutes I think turned out to be like about
more than an hour.
Yeah, yes. 2.5 hours I think, Usha, you were there, right? And just when he was leaving, Usha, just when he was leaving, he stopped by my father's picture. Yes. And he removed his slippers and he said, bring me some flowers. Put those flowers and he said just one sentence. Not passed away, but absorbed.
Beautiful. And Deepa, all these stages which you've been speaking about, your dad's ill health, his kidney transplant, then he was the cancer, he got admitted. And then Nana came to your house when, you know, like after your dad passed away. And then this incident, the last visit to your house, I was there in all the incidents. So it's like, you know, like I'm reliving these incidents as you speak.
Yes.
I feel so grateful because such great people, you know, the connection between Nangaru and people like this.
Mm-hmm.
Though we don't possess half of the divine virtues they do, but you are a witness to God and the people who live to attain Godhead. So it's like you're the audience here.
Yes.
You see, everything that you see, everything that you hear, or everything that you experience has a deep impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode of Nana with your dad had a huge impact in in myself. So how much it would have been on you.
Yes, yes, yes. It's very true, very true, Shah, very true. I think all this, you know, he didn't have to say any of this, Usha. It was just for us.
Yes.
For us to, you know, the faith is there, right? Just to make that even more strong, even more strong and strong, he is just revealing himself. Just like how, you know, Lord Krishna had to come out, right, on the war field. He had to, you know, do it. Otherwise, he didn't have to say these things, right?
Yeah,
just to show that, you know, how he's taking care of us in any space, in any space, in any given time. He's just not going to leave you, right? From saying that he needs to know I'm there for him, to, you know, seeing the progress and saying that he's going to come, and now he's saying that he's absorbed. You know, all the different things.
And also, that day in your house, do you remember, like, his speech was so profound.
Very
because he wouldn't leave the chair. No, he was sitting and then, Nana, it's time, we have to move on a little. He didn't even let others speak. He behaved as if he couldn't even hear anybody else speak.
Yes. He just ignored anyone who was reminding him of the time. And when he was leaving, he was telling, you know, Deepa, this Ramakrishna words are so nice, no? So sweet, no? I mean, all this. And I'm telling that anything you tell is sweet. Because, frankly speaking, whether it is Ramayana, you know, Gita, Mahabharata, or Ramakrishna, or anyone, I know them only because of Nangaru. Okay?
Yes, correct.
It is the way that he is talking about all these things. Because of him, you know, because of him that it is sweet, or anything that he speaks is actually very, very, very sweet, you know.
And maybe we can understand better only because he speaks it, because he's, you know, like giving his grace in the word.
Yes, very true. So I think what had happened was from one handshake initially to him giving his hand to
absorption.
Him.
Absorption.
A lot had happened. I think that's what happens if you have this immense, immense faith in him, you know, which cannot be which just cannot be shaked, and then it happens in a fast track. It just happens in a very fast track, you know.
It's like we start as passengers in the train and then we are flying at a speed nobody can comprehend. Maybe your father's journey was like that.
Yeah.
People were watching also, was it was something.
Yes, very true.
So how did, I mean, since you have spoken about your father, you tell about yourself, because you are his you're a byproduct of your dad and mom, who are both beautiful in their own extremities. I mean, like, she was so, I mean, both of them were equally humble, but their personalities were different, in, you know, like,
yes.
So, and you imbibed both.
It is Usha. So, actually, I'm one of those very fortunate people, Usha, really very fortunate, because I had a very positive environment around me all the time. So my grandfather is a person that nobody would ever forget because of the principles he lived and all the things. When he was passing away, I asked him, tell me two things, Tatya, means he told me that be content in your life, no matter what. And that is how he lived. And the second thing he told me was, even if someone harms you, you only do good to them, you know. That was my grandfather's words. My father, of course, you've spoken. And my mother is one person who's really extremely positive, very plain-hearted person. So she was driving me for the academic line all my initial years, you know, that the focus was on ACADS. I think the moment she met Nangaru, she realized that ACADS don't matter much. It is the spiritual thing that matters more. So she started, you know, driving me in that direction, saying, you know, Nangaru is here, come, you know, you have to meet and all that. And it's not just my parents, Usha, my grandparents, my aunties, my cousins, everyone would go, you know, everyone was seeing Nangaru. And even later on when I got married, my husband is into his, because the love is so powerful, Arna, I mean, Usha, that there is no one can like grabbing everybody who's touching my life, he's grabbing them also, you know, my children, everyone, literally. So all of them are in the circle. And my mother has this amazing group of friends, you know, 6-7 friends,
yes,
who are actually my friends. They are actually my friends because I grew up listening to them, sharing with them, they are sharing things with me, and they're truly your, you know, the true wishers of your true happiness. Let me put it that way. You know, they're like true wishers of your true happiness. So these people are there. And every time I would come back from US, Usha, you know, Lakshmi auntie would like fill me every single day she would visit, and we would talk about all of Nangaru's teachings and everything. So even when I was coming here, it was always about him. He was like somebody who would fill in all the gaps between Nangaru's visits. So Nangaru
maybe
would come
more.
And Yes, absolutely. So Nangaru would come, you know, teach, she'd give all this love, and he would go. By the time he would come back, auntie's there all the time, you know, also giving her love and all the teachings. And just to see her passion towards a guru was like amazing, you know, just to see that passion itself.
Yes.
Now, I'm like surrounded with all this positive energy and all this positive thing, that is like something that I'm really fortunate. But if I were to, again, you know, start on how or when I met Nangaru, I think I was 15 or 16 when I first saw him in Lakshmi Aunty's mother's house. And Usha, when I met him, it was like a laser tag. His look was like a laser tag. I was moving here and there, but he was like, you know, his eyes were following me. And he told then, oh, you have shown me Deepa. So, you know, definitely this journey has been going on from a long time, which I'm not aware of, but he knows that. And it's all about two things, Usha, which when it comes to Nangaru, it is the immense love, that unconditional love he was giving. And at the same time, he's giving all this guidance in every phase. And they both are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
They both, you know, the love, actually they're all one. It is all one, but But for me to say, it is the love is, he's showing so much love, and at the same time he's guiding you. Both are happening simultaneously, you know. And the love is actually the same for all of us. No, there's no doubt about it, Usha. But I think he has a different formula in how he shows it to each person. He has a different formula. Yes, the reason only he knows. The reason only he knows. But in my case, he has pampered me outright. He has just pampered me so much, so much, that sometimes I would feel so heavy with his love, you know. I would feel like, you know, I cannot handle it also sometimes.
Yes, yes.
Like that much of love he has showed. And like once he just gave me one laddu, you know, somebody had got a big Tirupati laddu. It was like literally this big. And he said, you know, there is a Lakshmi in this, there is Narayana in this, there is Shiva in this. And he kept reading a list of names and he said, there is grace in this, everything. I'm giving this to you. Now, what else can I give?
Oh, you know? My God. This is so wonderful, Ra. I mean,
and once I believe he was in Bangalore. And,
I hope you all ate the laddu.
Yes, we did.
He overfed us with sweets, actually.
Yes, all the time. The one time, in one of those initial days, I was listening to all his teachings and I used to think, when something is so pure within and if the truth is there, how come all this is happening? Why are you getting all these thoughts? Why is there all this disturbance? From something so pure, how can something like this even come out? Right? Mm. So I asked Nandgaru about that. I was in my teens then and I asked him. And to that, he actually explained saying that, you know, the moment you're married to one person, right, you get all the other people on his side also. They add on to you, like all his family members and everyone. Just with one knot, you have added not just him, but everything else. Yeah, everything else. So just like this with one identity, you know, that wrong identification or this with one that thing, lot of other things have now come.
Yeah.
So that's
a wonderful way of saying that.
Yes.
He makes you understand it so, the way you impart your subject also matters a lot.
Not a lot. Otherwise, you cannot stay there, Usha. See, understanding is what is
needed. Different formula for each one based on their mentality.
Yes, exactly. I think that understanding itself is God, or that itself is what is there, you know.
Definitely.
That is the subject, that is God, that is the grace, that is the guidance. Mm-hmm. That understanding is very key, which he used to deliver, no matter who it is.
Unlike any other so far. He's told about so many saints and their teaching. But
so far,
he was unique.
So far, and it is very hard to believe that something like that can even happen in the future also, you know, to that extent. Where someone's giving you that unconditional love, no conditions, no restrictions, nothing. And, you know, teaching you... Yes, very true. Once, so as a student, you know how his teachings are so useful, every phase of life. So when I was a student, I was listening to him, right? So I'm very stressed about exams, which is a very common thing for all the students, right? His teaching was so simple, Usha, that suddenly one day I felt, you know what, everything is predetermined. So is my result. So is the mark that is going to come to me. It is there on the table where I'm going to go and write the exam also. When I thought like that, my stress had vanished. It had just vanished. That's it. So as a student, you know, that was there to handle the stress. Then when I went to the US, somehow he had given me that understanding that I am not attached to him physically, you know. I never felt I was away from him, Usha, no matter where I was. See, he'll always give you that the understanding that is needed for you as per your physical journey, right?
Correct.
So the distance is there. So that understanding was also there that I'm not, you know, restricted or attached to him physically. Yeah, physically I'm not attached to him. So one time I was the first visit I was coming back from US to India, and I Nangaru said, come, you know, stay with me for 4 days, you know, he said, he told that. And me and my mother, we both went to Jinnuru, and we lived in a we were staying
the opposite house.
Yeah, we were actually staying in Bhimbaram and also in the opposite house, a little bit upstairs actually. And later on, someone told me actually that for last 1 week, he's been telling Deepa is going to come, so what is going to be made, what cooking had to be done and all that. So this is like so much love, Usha, so much love. All this, if you were to even think about it, this is like, actually he gives you so much love that you don't seek for it anywhere else, from anyone or anything or anywhere outside. It was a hot afternoon. Me and my mother were resting in upstairs in that house that we were there. And someone said, Nangaru's coming. And then I just peeked out. It was hot sunny day. He was coming with a big cloth bag, you know, with a big cloth bag full of books. And he's coming. He's giving us the books. He's sitting with us. He's making sure we're doing okay. I mean, who does this, actually? Who does this kind of a thing? Now, he's giving all this love. At the same time, he's teaching a lot of things. I remember in that trip, he told me, because I was going to get married very soon, he told me, no context ahead or later, he said, even millennials need to adjust, Deepa, he told. Even millennials need to adjust in life. And he told me that you should easily cross barriers or thoughts the way you would cross a gadpa, you know, that wooden... No, how easily you cross them, that is how easily you have to cross thoughts.
And I'm jealous you brought his gadapa home.
Yeah. That's so beautiful, Usha. That was his library room, which he must have touched numerous times in a day.
Yes.
Because that
Maybe
was
that's
like,
the room he touched the most in his life.
Exactly. I think it was his personal den, you know, kind of a thing, where no one else would go. And he
Nobody
would just,
else is allowed.
Yes. This, my mother literally, you know, she grabbed it and she got it. And we cherish it in our house today.
It's right. Even before we meet you, we have to cross. We have to see this.
Everybody walks into our house, asks us, you know, this is so beautiful. Where is it? Then we tell, you know, this is where it is coming from. And... actually,
so even before somebody comes to your house, they have to cross it and come.
Yes, they have to cross that and come. Actually, when some newcomers come to our house and in my house, and they see Nangaru's pictures everywhere, they ask, who is he? So it is very difficult to answer that question. To me, Usha, like Nangaru is like my father, he's like my grandfather, he's like every role. And to say the guru seems very formal to me, actually. It is like some very big word, actually, you know. Then I just tell them he is everything to us. He is everything, you know. That is how he has been. And not just him, even Mama, you know, like Nangaru's wife. So sweet. She is like the elder person in our house, always showering love in a very different manner. Like Nangaru is showering, she is showering.
She has her own... I'm doing it.
That's her own way of doing all this.
I know.
How is this even possible, you know? How is
it's
this
like possible? It's like we are in the lap of Shiva and Shakti, you know, simultaneously.
We are so fortunate, Usha, really.
We
are just very fortunate. One time I remember, like in Arunachalam, when I was visiting him, he was sitting upstairs in one place. There was a thatched kind of a roof there. And it was a silent day. You know, sometimes how Nangaru is not speaking and there is the silence is there. Yet the silence is very loud, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly he's opening eyes, looking at all the people around him. And once he looked at me and he said, sweet child, and he closed his eyes again.
Yeah.
And I was like, now it is again his responsibility to make that happen. So all this is happening, Usha, when I was working in US. Now, as a child, I was a person who really needed appreciation. I used to ask my mother all the time, am I good, am I good, am I good, you know, asking for all that appreciation and everything.
Yeah.
And when I was working, I was given this best employee award. So I used to talk to Nangaru occasionally on the phone, and I told him, you know, Nangaru, I got this. And he's like, you know how he is, right? Oh, that is so nice. Yeah, he was so intelligent. And as it is, I'm like this now. I'm on cloud nine, very, very much elevated and all that. So I'm feeling very good and very elevated and all that. Then a few months have passed. I got one more such thing. Then again, I'm like dialing the number, you know, to tell Nangaru and all. And this time, you know what he told me? So how much sweet his words are, you know, all his words are so sweet. Sometimes he throws a bomb, you know, literally it's like a bomb blaster, which will just smash a lot of things at one go. In one go, he'll smash up a lot of things. So I called him and he said, what is the use of all these things? I am like a bloated balloon, and he's just pricked me, you know, literally he just pricked me. I am like, you know what? And Usha, he will never do anything to you which you cannot handle.
Correct.
Yeah. He will guide you and take care of you.
Yes.
He will guide you. He will not leave you there. He will not say something and leave you there.
Yes.
He handhold you. We are just within, right? He's just there. I can so strongly tell you, Usha, since that day till now, I have not longed for it.
Yeah.
I have just not longed for it.
Yeah.
Even if it were to come sometimes, I am like, it's
okay. Yeah.
Sometimes he throws these bombs, you know, literally he smashes up a lot of things.
Yeah. I think it's not just word, Deepa. What we realize, no, like he was so powerful, you know, like sweet nectar grace with the power to, you know, like destroy all that is wrong and not you.
Yes, very true.
It's like the concept of Shiva Shakti at a time.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, I mean, like, honestly, the erasing of ego is the most difficult process, okay, like of many lifetimes. It's the most difficult process because it's killing your very identity, right?
Yes, yes.
But he has done it to us in such a sweet manner that, I mean, is it even possible for such a thing to happen on earth?
Yes, and it is happening even without our knowledge, actually.
Yes, that's the actual beauty, because he doesn't even give any importance or prominence to himself. He's just doing it out of love and nothing else.
Yes, yes. Sometimes you just sit back and think, oh yes, you know, so you, that's when you try to even recognize just very few of the works.
Minute.
Yes, yes, that is just not possible to even acknowledge or even understand his work. But even the little things that come to our understanding, that itself will like stop you. It'll just like stop you, you know.
Yeah.
Like for example, one day something had happened, something good had happened. I instantly wanted to share it with somebody. Like I called up Rajesh and he was not available. I went down to see my mom. She was not there. And suddenly it comes, I am there. From inside, you know, I'm there. And it is so loud, Usha. Like literally it's like, you know, sometimes he gives you this punch, you know, this punch that you know he's there, but you keep forgetting and you're just moving around.
Yes.
And I forgot what the thing was. I just started crying, you know. I just started crying that how come, you know, I'm ignoring he's there, right there, and I'm just ignoring. Even recently also, you know, suddenly I was looking at my kids and I was thinking, oh, these kids are going to leave the house very soon. They're going to go for their studies. And suddenly he's saying, I am there. I am there. It is so beautiful.
Yeah.
It is the internal guidance is so strong, Usha, that it is there all the time. It is there all the time. Only we have to listen. Only we have to listen to it. But it is there all the time. When I was coming back from the US and sitting with Nangaru, he used to ask me, are you happy? And I used to say yes. Then again, next day I'll come, he's saying, are you happy? I'm saying yes. Then I'm thinking, now why is he asking me this question? Because I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy only. I mean, I couldn't find any reason that I was not. Then I'm like, okay, which happiness is he talking about now? You know, which happiness is he talking about? Mm. Then the next day I went, he again asked me that question. Are you happy?
Are you happy?
Now this time I said, Unnanu. Happy ga unnava, he used to ask. I said, unnanu. Meaning, I am. Now, I don't know if I'm happy or not, actually. So, then again he asked, are you happy? Then I'm like, I am. I didn't want to say happy because I don't know which happiness is talking. I don't know if I'm happy or not. And that is driving me now, the I am, which I answered in a very light-hearted manner, very casually, which I answered, saying I am. It is what is driving me now.
This is something very beautiful.
Just be and just be. That's it. So, the thing is, Usha, like, my father's death experience was a big eye-opener for me. You know, I have learned so much from that. Right from when Nangaru told me, you know, that it is an insult if I were to cry. So I wouldn't cry, right? But I would sometimes look around, I would see people with their father and all, then suddenly, even before I would feel sad, immediately he would remind me of someone who didn't have a father much younger age. Like in our group of friends, you know, there were some an aunties there, the kids had lost their father when they were in their 10th and 8th grade only. So suddenly I'm reminded of, you know, then what should have been a painful thing has now turned into gratitude. Because now I am like, oh my God, thank you so much that you have given me for that much time.
Yes.
Suddenly I look at people who are like terrible fathers. You know, some people are unfortunate that they have terrible fathers, right?
Yes.
Then suddenly I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm so fortunate.
Fortunate.
So his remembrance at the right time is so powerful that the pain is now converted into gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, it is so powerful in that way. And one time, you know, with all this incident, like when he's not there, when you see all this closely, when my father has left and nothing has gone with him and all of that, whatever came through, you know, whatever has happened, so many problems come and go because you're working, right? When you work, a lot of tense environment is created and a lot of things. I would be immediately reminded of my father, you know, immediately reminded of him. Then everything would just appear like a speck.
Yeah.
You know, what can be more than someone leaving, you know, what is, I mean, this problem just doesn't matter. It didn't matter because, so this remembrance is given by him only. See, what happens is, all of us go through different things, disturbances and all kinds of things, and we come out of it.
Yes.
Now the question is, you come out in 1 hour or 1 day or 1 month or 1 year, right?
Yes.
But you do come out of it. But what he's doing here is, he's preparing you, he's guiding you, that there is no gap, you know, there is no gap. This is coming and the guidance is coming immediately.
Yes, yeah.
In fact, now the thought is also not completed and the guidance is overpowering you.
Yes.
Where,
so it's like in the guidance is our thought and action.
Yes.
That's how we are not apart from him.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. Because you're not alone, right? You're just not alone.
You're not acting by yourself. Your action, your word and your action is being guided.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So true. And you can feel it now all the time because the thought is coming and before it is completed, the guidance is coming.
Yes.
So the thought is lost. It has no strength. It is lost. And your faith is just increasing because, you know, all this is happening as an example. You're witnessing it. You're experiencing it. And your faith is just getting stronger.
Effortlessly.
Yes, effortlessly. Effortlessly. All this is happening and we're just a witness.
Yes. That's why he said, no, see, effort is only the beginning part. And later on, even you don't even have to think about it. It's called the effortless effort. Honestly speaking, for us, the beginning, middle and the end is going to be him. So we never had a role to play or to put an effort.
Yes. Yeah.
Very much.
And you had to only ask sometimes. Everything is given without asking. And you ask, it is even more obvious.
Yes.
Like when I was visiting Usha, like, you know, visiting Nandaru during the time that I was working, I was somehow feeling somewhere that, you know, now everybody was, you know, literally with Nangaru all the time. Wherever he was going, they were following him and all that. But I could not do that. But I was content wherever I was, right? But somewhere, something was pricking me that, you know, all of them are able to go and I am not. Now what is happening? So one day I went to him and I asked him, see, you always have to ask. Even now, you just have to ask. I asked him, how am I? Not who am I, but how am I?
No, how am I?
Yeah, not who am I, but how am I? And he said, you are fine. You are balancing physical and spiritual life very well. You're doing fine. You know, he said that. So I'm like happy, and I went home and all that. And then again I came, but somehow I was not satisfied, you know, because it really didn't matter. See, a lot of things don't matter to us, Usha. He's taken us to that stage where, you know, what were to happen in our physical course of time does not matter a whole lot. Okay, it does, but not. But the spiritual progress is the utmost important thing, right? So next time I wanted to be more clear, so I went back and I asked him, how am I progressing spiritually? So I asked him, you know, let me be direct. And he must have thought she's not going to leave me. He said, I will take you to a stage left or right of Buddha.
Wow.
Now, this is so, Usha, like, he said this because I asked him, but this is what he's going to do to all of us.
That's there. But it's true that, as you said, for each one, it's a different formula. For Deepa, it was different.
Only because I was asking, Usha, see, I was asking, right?
That's how it makes you different, because you were asking and nobody else was asking.
See, whether we ask or not, he's going to do it, Usha. We all know that for sure. We all know that. But maybe all this happened so we could talk about it today.
Yes.
Maybe.
It's like, now, see, suppose for flowers, for sunflower, it's a different menu. For rose, it's different. For each flower has its own nutrient ingredient, right? So, Deepa's was this, and it's so beautiful to listen to you, because each one's path is unique, and each one's relationship with him is unique.
Mm-hmm.
And all ultimately, we are all him, and we merge into him, and we dissolve. And then the way he's taking each one of us,
I think that is what we all are enjoying, and I think that is what is keeping us going, Usha. See,
correct.
To a stage where we're not looking for anything externally. We're just not looking for anything externally, right? So, there is no three, first of all. There is no world. I mean, it doesn't matter to us, right?
Yes.
Whatever is coming from it, pain, happiness, it does not matter.
Whatever.
There is no three. He has already taken us there. Now it is just me and him, right? It's just me and him. That is fine. That is fine with me, you know, as long as it is just me and him. Because now when I'm only looking at him, I know I'm going to dissolve. You know, I'm just going to dissolve. And it is just going to happen. One of his speeches, Usha, like, he was talking about a lot of things, but he meant to say, aite ainti. So what? He would talk about something, so what? This were to happen, so what?
That
whole meeting, like for 1 hour or 1.5 hours, he kept repeating this word, which will not leave me now, you know?
Mm.
So what? So what? The secret is so what, Usha, because if the moment you ask a question to anything, so what, it will just stop. Whatever nonsense is happening, the so what, that's it. I mean, what is the answer to so what? Tell me, can anyone really answer that? So, the moment you say so what, I told you this is like bomb blasters, right? This is a short one.
It's very, very.
Exactly. So, to that sarisare, over the period of time, how my prayers have changed, Usha. So, when I was growing up, I would say, oh God, you know, just do this one thing for me. And most of the time, he would do it, actually. Most of the time, he would do it. Even when I was expecting my children, Usha, for one child, I asked, I want this, I want this, I want this. He literally grew all those things. Then I thought I shouldn't have done that because now he's given only that. Now second time I said, you know, give me the best. You know, give me a Bhagavan soul, someone like that. And he does it, Usha. He does it.
Yeah, he does it.
And he's watching you all the time. He's inside of you. He knows. He said it out loud. Your desire is fulfilled. Your desire is fulfilled. Oh my God. You know, he's like literally seeing everything, hearing you, fulfilling you and everything. So at first I was saying, do this one thing. Then later on, he takes you to a stage where you're saying that, you know, do what you think is right. And now, Usha, what I feel is, do what is right, do you do this, what is good, why so much, you know, why, what is all this? So what is all this? What is all this? You know, you just go, just be. Just be. Just be is so beautiful. For anything, the answer is just be. The moment that comes, everything is gone. Everything is gone. So just be, just be. Like that only, the work also that I was doing, initially when I took the work, right? I was so emotional, Usha. I was so emotional. Oh, this is what my father had started. I have to keep it going. I was there, you know, that I should make sure this doesn't go. Then I've got this from the past. So much of that burden was there that I was carrying. Then he slowly takes you to a stage. Then I, at one point I thought, no, I don't want to do this, you know. I went through that phase also. Then also the work was happening. When I didn't want to do also, the work was happening. And now he takes you to the state where it just doesn't matter. You know that work is happening. The work will happen. Either it will end this hour or 1 year or a lifetime. It just doesn't matter. So this due course of action, you know, you have to go through whatever is destined to happen, right? But for you to understand that, you know, he makes you understand that through this process, that the work is happening no matter what. Whether you want to do it, you don't want to do it, or whatever it is, it is just happening. So the cleaning is happening and the gap is reduced where, you know, your thinking and the guidance is there. There is this constant chat kind of a thing going on internally, you know. You're just not alone. It's like constant chat. For hours together, I'm like talking to him. We're just talking. I don't even know what is happening, Usha. Like literally, it just gives me happiness. Just go through the chat, going through it. And everything ends at just be. Just repeating, no matter what your question, it just comes.
Are you happy? And it went from I am happy to I am.
Yes, I am. True. Because you suddenly feel like when you question, you just get this that I am nothing. I have nothing to do with anything that is happening. Mm-hmm. And when that repeats, you suddenly feel like only he exists. Or he is everything. He is everything. I am nothing. He is everything. I am nothing and he is everything. So it just stops there, Usha. That's it. That space is so enjoyable because anything you do, it is just leading you there. And so content with that. So content, the journey, the thing, what is happening. Very, very content with that. It's like you got this immense treasure within you, you know, this immense treasure which nobody can touch. Nobody can see. So I think that
nobody can snatch.
Nobody can snatch, yeah. Nobody can snatch. What's happening? One time, you know, some sweet memories keep coming, Usha. It was the Vaikuntha Ekadasi day. And I was always meeting him and leaving him, so I wanted to stay for a longer period of time. That day I came and I told him, you know, I want to stay here today. I want to stay here. And he said, like, okay, fine, you know, but I didn't want to impose on Mama, you know, again, he said, eat here. Then I said, and I didn't know that it was Vaikuntha Ekadasi. I just came, there were so many devotees coming and going, and I found out that, okay, this is the thing. Then suddenly,
I was there then also.
You were there. You were there all the time, Usha. All the time.
Because I'm like, yeah, I'm a witness to this.
Yes. So yeah. I just didn't want to, you know, stay for lunch, and I didn't want to like create that thing of a burden or anything. So I just instantly said I'm not going to eat because I am doing upavasam. I had never done that in my life. And I just said upavasam. Why, he asked. Some ekadasi, that's why I told him. That's it. And you know, now he went inside, everyone went, and he is eating his meal that morning. He's talking to Mama, so cute, you know, how he's talking. You know, see Deepa, and I had told Mama, I won't eat, since she won't eat. Then Bujji comes and he says, he's like a mic, you know. She is doing upavasam, and I'm like, you know, what is this going on? What I said casually, you know. And he knows everything, Usha. He knows everything. And he won't leave me like that. Then he sat in front of me, he said, if you were to eat in your house, eat here. So he said that, and I just kept quiet and I ate double the amount of what I would normally eat, you know. I just ate double.
You told so that Mama will not be troubled, though you don't do a fasting generally. And of course, they go. And somehow, Nana was always insistent on overfeeding us. I still don't understand why he overfed us in every way.
He did that, and he also always looked at the comfort side of it, Usha. He would always ask, how did you come? Did you come in a car? How are you going? It's not like, you know, you've come and gone. No, he's like the caretaker, you know, like who, that day also when I stayed back.
Caretaker of these babysitters. No. Babysitting.
Yes. Actually, that very same day, he was talking to Mama, no? You should see how cutely both of them were talking. He was saying, where should Deepa stay? And then Mama is saying, she can stay in some Lakshmi's place. Do you feel comfortable over there? He's saying. It is so cute, so cute, so cute. You know, these two, just because I said I'm going to stay that day, you know, they're like looking after, is she going to be comfortable there? Then I went there, I dozed off, and then I came back, and he said, Deepa, you'll have tea? Yes, I'll have tea. Now I don't want to say any words or nothing. Whatever you want me to eat or drink, I'll just bring that, you know. I will go and just have it. So lovely, so lovely. One day, like this only I came, I was that same day, I was carrying a purse with me, and then he said, give me your bag. Give me your bag. I keep it with me. You take it when you're returning, you know. Who will look after everything, Usha? Like this and the small, small things also. And he nicely put it in his almara, locked it, and he kept it safe with him. And that day evening, I had to leave in a rush. And he's surrounded with all the devotees. And somebody was giving me a ride, and I had to tell him. Oh, I felt so terrible. He just got up and he came and he gave a bag. And he told me, less luggage, more comfort. So, you know, after that, I never carried a bag when I was visiting him. Only a small purse is what I used to carry.
You minimized even that.
everything, you know, like.
You minimized your outer baggage, you minimized your inner baggage.
Yes.
What a beauty.
So he's taking care of all the baggages, you know.
Correct.
So the external bag also he's safeguarding. Now the internal baggage he is like literally blasting.
So you can happily sleep.
You just should not interfere, you know, make it complicated or drag the process, you know. Just watch. Yes. The beautiful, everything, even just to see him, you know, even was so beautiful. The way he moved, the way he spoke, the way he turned, everything was like so graceful. He was filled with grace, everything was graceful, giving graceful, and he showered with so many gifts, just all like his remembrances, token of his love. Always giving something all the time, guiding you, giving all the time.
Giving, only giving.
So fortunate, Usha, that we are in his arms. There is no way that we are just going to escape this. even if you want to. There is no way.
We cannot, because where is there to go? Because wherever we went, he just engulfed us.
This is there. So all we need to do is just enjoy this process of whatever is happening internally and what he is doing to us, you know, what he is doing to us constantly, what is happening right now. Yeah.
So beautiful. Another half an hour, because every time we finish an English session, no, if there is something more you need to speak, you please speak, Deepa.
No.
When was it that you met him last? Maybe you can.
Yeah. So when he was not doing well, Usha, we had gone to Jinnuru, and Rajesh, both of us went to Jinnuru. And we didn't want to meet him, actually, because we knew that he was already pain and everything. We just wanted to go meet Mama and others and come back, actually.
Yeah, but then, I was there. Came with the kids.
He was upstairs in that room. And they were very kind that, you know, they said, no, come. Just 2 minutes before, he was going through a lot of physical pain, actually. He was going through a lot of physical pain, which we could hear. We just didn't have the courage to go inside, actually. Yeah, we just did not have to, because we did not want to also, actually. We just wanted to come and go.
Yes.
But they were very kind. They said, no, go. He's there. Yeah. Then when we walked in, you would not think that this person was in pain 1 minute before. You were just not
correct.
1 minute back that he was in that immense pain. He was all glowing, and he was come and... He actually gave me a shake hand, and Rajesh also shake hand. And even then, Usha, he asked Rajesh, how is Deepa? Even the last day that he left the physical self, I had just come there. All of us were standing and we looked at him. And then I think... Till the last minute, it is all about how we are doing, how
absolutely. Nothing of him at all. It's like, how can anybody sacrifice an entire life just for taking care of you? And not to be touched by anything, which is not palatable. Yeah. Immense gratitude. So now, Grishma, shall we stop the English session and start the Telugu, or we can continue the recording and you can split it later?